It's showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Hello, everyone. Welcome in to the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, a fan-run radio. Overtime is clocking in at 6:03 on your hump day. Glad to be joining you once again here, 105.7 FM, AM 1340, streaming worldwide on FoxSportsKnoxville.com and your fan-run radio app. And we're also coming to you live on video on Periscope, several ways you can view the show today. I'm Tanner Carson. I got three-man crew. I got three-man crew in here for the first time in quite some time. Mm-hmm. Usually when I'm in here now, it's the four-person crew.
Yeah.
We got the main three-headed wolf pack here, and we usually are joined by an intern, whether that be Matt or Stetson. But both of them, fall break. Taking in some fall break. Must be nice.
You know how jealous I am?
I'm slightly jelly.
That's the one thing I miss. Fall break always came at a great time, but
it really did. I don't know how they did it when you were going like through high school, but in Campbell County, they gave us an entire week off.
Correct. In Rockdale County, Georgia, they
Look
gave me
that.
An entire
Shout
week.
Shout out to Rockdale County.
Shout out to Rockdale County,
that's
man.
The way I grew up. A week for fall break, a week for spring break. It was
in like a month for Christmas.
That was the best. That's the one thing I still think UT's still getting right. They give you pretty much a whole month.
They do.
Which is pretty cool. But Stets and Matt, if you're listening to us, hope you're being safe. I know I think they're both going back out to the mid-state. I don't think they have any vacation plans or anything like that. But whatever you're getting into, kids, be careful. I'm joined by the man whose velvet smooth voice you already heard. I got Malcolm Harris.
What's up, baby?
Right here. And up in the producer's perch, we have Justin Fine. Justin, what's up, man?
How's it going, bros?
Going good, man. Hey, good, I've noticed this too. Your voice sounds a lot better. Are you getting over the crud?
Yeah, it's been a long haul. I've been eating DayQuil for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with a nightcap of NyQuil for like two weeks now.
Nice.
But yeah, slowly getting better, and soon my voice will be back to, you know, the silky smoothness you were used to prior to my sickness.
I mean, we need it. I'm a fan.
Because as everyone knows, that's what I'm known for. My great radio voice.
Oh, come on. Don't be taking shots at yourself like that. You're fine.
It's
hey,
all good.
If I can get on here and be confident about my hick-ass voice, I mean, you're good, Justin, I promise.
We're all good.
We're all good, man.
I mean, I'm coming on here sounding like I'm coming straight from the back of the holler.
Rolling down the backwoods.
If it'll drive, it's worth 55.
Oh, don't. I'm thinking about all the cheesy car commercials in East Tennessee. Now, how did we get to this point?
I don't know, man.
Justin did start singing Dixieland Delight. Very appropriate for this week, by the way. Just to remind you, no matter how bad Alabama beats us on Saturday, Dixieland Delight will always be a song about Granger County, Tennessee.
They better recognize.
It will always be a song about it. Guys, how can they sing that in Bryant Denny? I get it's from Alabama. I get the band Alabama's all Alabama fans. I understand that. But the song says multiple times Tennessee Saturday night, and they're playing that in the heart of Alabama. What sense does that make? I've never understood it.
If we were more on the same playing field football-wise, I think they might not have embraced it as wholeheartedly as they have in that stadium.
Bingo.
But, you know, they've been the big bro down there, so...
It doesn't change the fact, though, that, like...
I wish we could take it back. Wasn't Talk Sports, maybe, or maybe Three and Out, they were talking about trying to take back Dixieland Delight this week?
I mean, I don't care at this point. Like, to your point, though, Justin, that, like, they own us so bad in football. I mean, what's the use trying to, like, reclaim it or whatever? I mean, I don't need to personally worry about reclaiming it. I know what it's about. I know exactly what it's about. There was some Alabama fan one time trying to justify it, saying that, No, it's a story about, you know, these teenagers in like northern Alabama, and they're at the Tennessee border. Like they'll drive into Tennessee because it's easier to get alcohol and all this blah, blah, blah in there, and they're just cruising through southern Tennessee. No, that's not what it's about. It was exactly
it seems like a stretch.
Written while the songwriter, I forgot exactly who wrote the song. I don't think it was a member of Alabama, but somebody wrote it, gave it to Alabama, going on a bus through the main highway, through Rutledge and Granger County, out east of us here, out through tomato country. That's exactly what it's about.
They just took it from us.
They took our song! They took our germs!
Maybe in 20 years, when we reappear in the SEC championship, we can take the song back.
I'm still just triggered by the fact that it does say Tennessee Saturday Night multiple times. I'm like, y'all are in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's like, what's the comparison for Neyland playing a song like
I don't
that?
Know.
Would it be like Blue Moon of Kentucky?
Maybe.
Yeah.
In George Alabama's, on my mind, Ray Charles.
That would be literally I was thinking.
But there's probably not a song worth a damn about Alabama, so they had to do what they had to do.
I will say Skinner had Sweet Home Alabama, but that's been ruined by them as well.
Never
they
mind.
also pipe in Sweet Home Alabama. Kid Rock also ruined that too, by the way, when he sampled it.
What does Kid Rock not ruin, man?
Actually, that's a fair point. I mean, like simultaneously in the late 90s, he managed to ruin like rock, metal, country, hip hop, whole lot of stuff. He just did it all at the same time.
He did.
Up there hanging out with Limp Bizkit and Fred Durst. Ugh.
Where is Fred Durst? Is he still with us?
You know, that's...
No, like, I'm not trying to be mean.
The question of the day, where is Fred Durst?
I need to make a t-shirt about that. Where is Fred Durst?
I'm pretty sure they tried to have some comeback with the original lineup a few years ago.
Okay.
They had some music video. I had to look up during the break. The video is just, it's bad. I think it was Fred Durst, like, in his mid-40s, still trying to act like he was back in the day.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. I also think Lil Wayne was featured on the song. So now they're trying to drag Weezy into this.
Weezy is about that check any means necessary.
he really is at this point, Malcolm. Can't really hate on it, though.
No, never, man.
So give you some updates on the main sporting events going on around here. No baseball today. How about that? Game 4 of the ALCS is postponed until tomorrow. So they are going to, Justin, correct me on this if I'm wrong, because you are the big baseball guy up the three in here. They are trying to have a doubleheader tomorrow, right? ALCS?
I actually don't know. I'll find that out real quick.
Trying to find that out real quick, but they're worried about, what, a bomb cyclone up in the Northeast? Like, really nasty weather up there around New York.
I didn't even know that, man.
Yeah, they're worried about nasty stuff, so they went ahead and, they moved game four to...
Yeah.
Tomorrow
at 8:08, and then I'm seeing game five on
Friday.
They
rescheduled game five for Friday. Yeah. Okay, so they're not having a doubleheader.
That would be wild for postseason.
Okay, but that's why I was thinking that didn't make sense. So Friday was supposed to be a travel day if necessary.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay, so that's being delayed one day. Your NLCS came to an end last night, though. What the hell? The Washington Nationals. They sweep the Cardinals. They sweep the Cardinals. They pulled out the brooms.
I love to see it.
They annihilated them.
I know there's not a lot of Braves fans that are fans of the Nats just because they're in the same division, but being a Braves fan who's just got knocked out by the Cards, I would assume that this is a happy result.
Especially the way it happened, you know? Because they got seven runs in the first inning.
Give them a taste of their own medicine.
You know, like, they were talking a lot of mess. You remember that post game? I think one of y'all sent in the group meet with the manager, basically saying,
"Yeah,
after the Cardinals beat up on the Braves that last game, the Cards manager said in a post game locker room pump up,
Lubber Pandy,
we'll beat the bleep out of anybody that we play." So that was a funny cold take exposed yesterday.
Well, you hate to see that. Really do hate to see that, though. Yeah, Nats' first ever World Series appearance. I mean, that's going back, like, Nats/Expos franchise history, first World Series appearance. This is going to be the first time that our nation's capital has hosted a World Series game since the early 30s. Yeah. Early 30s, like 35, 33. It was one of those years.
Wow.
It's been quite a minute So they will await the winner, the Astros-Yankees. But that's just your update. If you just so happen to be anticipating ALCS Game 4 tonight, that's being moved to tomorrow. Quick little note about the Nats, though. We got some VFL flavor with the Nats. Y'all know about Yan Gomes?
Yeah.
Yan Gomes, man. He's on the Nationals, going to a World Series. Let's see. He had a game-winning 2-RBI single. Helped the Nationals sweep the card. So good for Yan Gomes.
He's got a lot of good chemistry going with Anibal Sanchez. Sanchez was really happy with the way Yan was, you know, catching for him during his one hitter a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, love to see that.
Yeah, definitely do. Real quick trivia: do y'all know his nation of origin, Yan Gomes? It's very interesting for a baseball player.
Lesotho.
Do you know, Malcolm?
I'm not even.
Brazil.
Really?
Yeah, Brazil.
Wow.
Not really known for a baseball.
No.
He used to work out at, I graduated from CAK, and we got that metal dome we used to practice in the off season, and he used to come in with a couple other pro guys, used to go in there and work out and hit inside with Coach Farr would let him come out and use the facilities, so great guy. Met him a couple times, so cool dude.
Hey, shout out to Yan Gomes, VFL going to the World Series here. Also today, you had SEC basketball media days going on down in they have it in Birmingham or Hoover?
Birmingham.
Okay.
Yep.
That's what I figured. I figured they had about the same place there. Rick Barnes spoke today, as well as the media got to talk to the two representatives that the Vols sent. Of course, you're going to send your two old heads, your senior leaders, Lamonte Turner, Jordan Bowden were sent down there as well. Did you all get to see the nice little photo shoot they had?
It's beautiful.
They tried to pull off the LeBron D. Wade.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice little setup. So that must have just been, I guess, 9 or 10 different cameras in a little semicircle to get that shot. It was a nice little thing they had.
So cool.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic as well. So I've got some Slick Barnes quotes. Run through this real quick because I think we'll switch to football when we come back here. Trying to get anything decent out here. Here's a quick quote Barnes talking about. Having to, obviously, one of the big elephants in the room replaced the production from last year's team, specifically when it comes to PB&J, man. Admiral Schofield, Grant Williams, who are, by the way, looking really good in preseason. I saw Grant put on a nice little move.
He's going to be great for the
and
Celtics.
People said that it couldn't work in the NBA.
It's working.
Oh, it's going to work. He's going to be fine. But Barnes said about replacing Admiral and Grant, he said there was no doubt about where the ball was going to go last year. We want to be playing through our guards more than we play through our post players. I mean, that was going to be obvious, right?
Yeah.
All your returning production is going to be in your backcourt this time around versus where it has been the past couple of seasons. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a nice little tidbit difference watching this year's squad versus what we've been used to the past few years.
When was the last time Tennessee has been more so a backcourt team? What, Kevin Punter?
I guess for that one season. It had to be, right?
Yeah.
I would guess so. I mean, those teams weren't great, but technically, yeah.
They were entertaining, though.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking of the past, like, good Tennessee teams, and it's all been front court
yep.
based. Going back to Konzo, I mean, you had Jarnell Stokes, Jerome Maimon.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely had them run through.
There were some grown men.
Oh, they were. So I guess the last really like good Tennessee teams to be ran through backcourt, Pearl teams.
Yeah.
Had to be.
Yeah.
It had to be that punter team, the last team that ran through the guard specifically. And Kevin Punter was good.
He was great, man.
Especially when Rick Barnes fixed the shot. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's making money doing it. Not going to have an NBA career, but he's making money playing professional basketball.
He should be in the NBA to me. I don't know. It's just so hard to crack an NBA roster. It really is.
I mean, you've seen guys, I mean, just specifically who played for Tennessee, they've struggled to make it work. They mm-hmm. bounced around from a main roster on like 10-day contracts back to the G League, play in Europe for a couple seasons, come back. Think about everywhere Jarnell has been.
Yeah.
Think about Scottie Hoffson.
I thought Scottie
all
was
bouncing around.
Yeah,
man.
You're right, man.
They're all been bouncing around here. Get some more Barnes quotes here. Talking a lot about the SEC here. He said, every year I expect our league to beat a lot of teams in the NCAA tournament. He's asked about Kentucky. He said, our games with Kentucky the last few years have been great basketball games. I think it's a game I'd like people to be looking forward to every season. Speaking of games people are looking forward to, we'll leave with this right here. How about this? Asked about Memphis. Asked about Penny. Barnes said, I think Penny has done a great job in a short time. I think all of our games are big games. That's how we look at it. Okay.
I'm loving this already because everybody knows the elephant in the room. This is going to be the biggest game in the state this year.
It's a lot more complimentary of Penny real quick because remember the last time he was talking about basketball in the state? Compliments Jerry Stackhouse. Compliments just anybody else in the state of Tennessee doesn't say a thing about Penny Hardaway.
That's crazy.
What were you going to say, Justin?
Also, it was a couple weeks ago, but Penny Hardaway like promised a championship like this year for Memphis. I don't know if y'all saw that, but that kind of flew under the radar a couple weeks ago.
What, did he promise a national championship? I mean, they can win the American, sure.
But no, he was like...
I mean, they'll win the American regular season.
I don't know.
Maybe.
He made it seem like he was talking about the whole shebang.
Well, he's an idiot because they're not.
I will say he's...
Mark the damn tape, they're not.
He's well-dressed, though. Did you see the fit that he brought out? And somebody said that Rick Barnes is going to beat him in a belt suit.
I saw somebody quote, I know the video you're talking about, somebody quoted that and said Penny got that at Kohl's on discount. I'm just going to leave it.
I'm going to stop playing with Penny.
I'm just going to leave it at that. Well, he has to beat us first for me to stop playing around.
Yeah, so a few weeks ago in a Bleacher Report article, he was quoted as saying, I look at this group, I just say to myself, we're going to win a national championship. That's what I know.
Okay, Penny. At Freezing Cold Takes, at Old Takes Exposed.
Gotta try to beat us in TBA first.
Gosh, I cannot wait, bro.
Memphis is such a proud basketball school. They have not won a damn national title. Not a single one. Before I get carried away on that, let's hit this break here. Switch gears to football. Yay. Yay. I guess it's time we, speaking of elephants in the room, speaking of crimson elephants in the room, I guess we'll start addressing it next segment, maybe.
I got some Alabama news, too, for next segment that
you're
going to laugh at. So
I always love laughing.
Can't wait.
Always love laughing, especially when it involves Alabama, I guess. So let's hit this first break of the show. Our number is 865-546-8200, 546-8200. If you would like to hop on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline here, talk a little Tennessee football next. Malcolm's going to share this Alabama news with us. And stay tuned at 6:30. Because we are going to be graced with the presence of one Lucas Panzeca.
Nice.
A lot of Titans news this week. What looks like the end of the Marcus Mariota era out there in Music City.
Oh, man.
So we'll talk to Lucas about that coming up at 6:30. But stick with us. Hit the first break of overtime. We'll be back with more on Fan Run Radio. Back on overtime, before we talk about Tennessee-Alabama, the football game, Malcolm, I want to throw it over to you, talk about an Alabama man. Alabama man, it will never surpass Florida man. It gives it good competition.
This one is close.
Especially when it comes to this. What you got for us?
All right, man. The University of Alabama freshman is accused of calling in a bomb threat at LSU's Tiger Stadium during LSU-Florida on Saturday night. Connor Bruce Kroll, 19, of Virginia, was arrested and jailed Sunday as a fugitive from justice. He faces unspecified charges in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. According to the police affidavit obtained in Baton Rouge, Kroll told police that he called in a bomb threat during the Tigers' 42-28 win because a friend was on the verge of losing a large bet.
What an idiot.
Authorities didn't immediately provide for the detail about the nature of the threat or say whether he intended to carry it out. Guys.
He was just trying to save his friend, man.
Would y'all do that for me if I put the chips on the Falcons?
No.
I love you, Malcolm, but no.
I mean, that's pretty serious. I would like to imagine he was some sort of inebriated to go along with this kind of foolhardy plan to get his friend out from under his bookie's thumb. But, I mean, props to him, man. That's loyalty. I'm calling it a fake bomb threat.
I mean, that is just... That's the craziest thing I think I've heard in a minute. And we've heard some crazy stuff this week. But that right there...
And a freshman at Alabama, well, he's no longer going to be anything at Alabama, I would imagine. Well,
hey, this is why Purdue will not allow students to gamble on any game whatsoever. Did you guys hear about that?
Did not know that.
I have. How do they enforce that, though?
I mean, you pretty much can't, but it's just kind of like a campus-wide policy. Like, their student body is supposed to not gamble on anything because conversations – basically what it broke down to is they didn't want – conversations between, like, you know, athletes and, you know, regular students to be perceived as, like, trying to get gambling advice. So, like, if your star player is hurt, you know, and you're in, like, a group project with them and you just see him casually, you might be like, oh, how's your leg doing or something like that. And they didn't want to put the burden on the athletes of being like, are you asking me that as a friend because you care? Or are you asking me that because you want to wager on me? So...
Ask him to shave some points. Like, hey, man. It's like, when, especially when it's basketball, it's like, hey, we're up by this much. If you'd like to, you know, accidentally miss one of your free throws.
I would love it if you guys didn't cover, so.
You remember in Longest Yard? I want you to lose the ball game.
I've not watched that in a hot minute.
Yeah.
I have not watched that in a while. Wow. Longest Yard, that's a throwback here. We got some updates. On the status of Brian Maurer today, heading into Alabama game. So, don't know for sure if he's going to be able to start Saturday. Pruitt today said, it was SEC teleconference, he said that Maurer's still yet to fully clear concussion protocol after he almost got decapitated against Mississippi State. He said on Monday, if you remember, that he took some reps during Tennessee's light practice Sunday night. He said today during the teleconference that status is yet to be determined. Pruitt said he's went kind of through the protocol here, and he's taken some reps in practice, but it will be a game-time decision. He could take some reps as we move forward through the week, and if you can hear Pruitt's voice, he wouldn't say forward, he'd say forward as we move forward through the week, and that's what we've done. Don't play him, please. Can we just... We know it's going to happen.
Brian, enjoy your PTO. We'll see you Monday morning, bright and early.
Can we not just lose, okay? Can we just lose? Can we not lose and get a promising young quarterback killed?
I agree. I think that's a win-win if Maurer just kind of sits this one out, because worst case scenario, we lose and Maurer's healthy to start the next game. Best case scenario, JG plays out of his face, has a career day, redeems himself, and we somehow beat Bama.
I mean, that would just be the most unheard of. I mean, that would be so Tennessee, it's not even funny, though.
To beat Alabama?
No, for JG to just put up numbers and us lose in dramatic fashion. Oh, God. But.
I will not entertain my brain with any thoughts of some miracle being pulled out.
JT Shrout, be ready, man. You QB2 this week.
Yeah, Henry T is not going to be there in the first half. Not like it would make that much of a difference. And also, Riley Locklear might not be playing either.
Pruitt just had some type of update on stats. Our own Trey Walls tweeted that. Look, Trey's still recovering from the flu, and he's still trying to gather quotes. What a hero.
Flu game, man.
I don't think he's out there right now. I wouldn't recommend that, but he's getting quotes somehow. So on the status of Riley Locklear, Pruitt just said a few minutes ago, we don't know if he's going to play yet. Right now, I'd say he probably won't. We've got guys that can move in there and play. I mean, offensive line really wasn't affected whatsoever without him in the
rotation. Ryan Johnson did a heck of a job, man.
Fantastic. Hey, that's another guy we forgot to mention when it comes to all these upperclassmen that have been showing stuff.
I see you.
Shout to Buzz, okay? Shout to Buzz from Home Alone. You go, Ryan Johnson.
He used to look like Draco when he was younger.
Oh, he did.
Before the mustache came in. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, he did. See, I've always thought he looked like Buzz. He looks less like it when he actually grows facial hair.
Yeah.
You need to check out the old recruiting pictures of him, like when he was like 16. he straight up looked like him. I can just imagine Macaulay Culkin going through the chest, picture of the girlfriend. Buzz, your girlfriend, woof. We're like not even 2 months away from that being on TV.
Yeah,
by the way.
I'm looking at his freshman picture.
You know,
it's the flat top that really does
it's
it.
It's that haircut.
Yeah.
It's that haircut. Why would you have that haircut?
I wonder if he wanted to get the same cut as Butch, just try to fit in with him.
Oh, God. We've got stuff about Butch.
He actually
kind of
looks like Butch, too, with that haircut.
Oh, he was inspired, I guess. Poor young impressionable minds. I've got stuff to talk about when it comes to Butch later in the show. I want to set some time at the end of hour one to tackle it,
Let's
though.
Do that.
So, Nick Saban, of course, with it being Tennessee week, and Butch Jones still being an offensive analyst in his second year at Alabama, he was asked about Butch Jones and gave a quick comment on the job he's been doing, yada, yada. He said something interesting about kind of alluding to why he's still at Alabama. But we will tackle that later because there might be something kind of but just below surface level when you look at these quotes that could be, is Butch trying to finesse us like real bad? And is he even actually able to? It's like a contract thing. Well, not a contract. It's like an agreement thing. Could be like a legally binding thing. I don't know.
Okay.
I kind of want to get into this a little bit later, but we will set some time for that end of hour one because when we return to the program, we will be joined by the one and only Lucas Panzeca. If you don't know about him, I mean, you should if you listen to this show. He's on every week. But he is a sports director of WDKN Radio in Dixon, Tennessee. A little west of Nashville out there. He's a Fox Sports Knoxville and Overtime alum. Really connected with the Titans out there. It's been a big couple last days for the Tennessee Titans. A lot of drama going on out there in Nashville. We'll pick his brain about that when we come back. Ask him about Marcus Mariota. Ask about Ryan Tannehill. And I'd really like to ask about what they think about Mike Vrabel. People are out on Mike Vrabel already. Out.
Can you blame him?
Not really. Especially as a pro coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really. Ask him all about the Titans-related questions. When we come back, he'll join us on the Next Door Home Group hotline. Stick with us here on Overtime, though. We'll talk to Lucas Panzeca after this break. Pleased to be joined at this moment on the Next Door Home Group phone lines here. We got Lucas Panzeca, the sports director of WDKN Radio in Dixon, Tennessee, out there in the Nashville area, making his presence felt once again here on Overtime. Lucas, happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday, guys. How are y'all?
Hey, man, doing fantastic. Just grinding through this week here. Glad for you to join us again here, and especially because we have a lot to talk about when it comes to the Tennessee Titans out your way. Very interesting week, if I do say so myself.
To say the least.
Yeah, to say the least. Let's go ahead and jump into it, man. I'm going to ask you point blank. Do you think now with Ryan Tannehill being named a starter for the upcoming Monday night's game against the Chargers, with him being named a starter, Mariota goes back to the bench. Is it done? Do you see any chance that Mariota returns to take starting snaps, you know, barring, of course, any health-related or injury issues to Ryan Tannehill?
No, I wouldn't say that. Anything here can happen. I could see the complete inverse of the situation happening all over again where it doesn't pan out with Tannehill and Mariota comes back in and maybe we see shades of what we saw in 2016 or his rookie year. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I don't know what it is. Something tells me that the Marcus Mariota book is not completely closed in Nashville, but there's no doubt that right now he's not the guy. For some reason, I don't feel like this is it for Mariota in Tennessee. I feel like we're going to see him again, kind of like we saw Garantano again come out against Mississippi State.
Yeah, I'll piggyback off that as well. So with Mario making the move back to the bench, if he does get his starting role back in any type of way, do you think maybe it took him getting demoted back to second string for him maybe to find that spark again, to find some type of motivation? Do you think that would be the case if he did get the starting job back?
Possibly. And, you know, he handled it very well, like you would expect him to. I mean, that's always been the thing with him. He's always been a professional, a role model in the community. But talking to reporters, you know, he talked about, this isn't it for me in my career. This is just a learning process. It's just the next step. A lot of cliches there. But yeah, I feel like if anyone's going to keep a level head about it, it's going to be Marcus Mariota. And maybe we do come out and see a kind of spark that we haven't quite seen this season. You saw it light up just a little bit in that Cleveland game in the second half and in the Atlanta game, but we definitely have not seen Marcus Mariota to the level that he played back in 2016 or back when he led the Titans to that playoff win in 2017. So I do think it's possible. It's probably unlikely. But no, like I said, I feel like we're going to see Marcus Mariota throwing passes again for the Titans before the season's over, whether it's due to injury or not, to Tannehill.
Now, looking at – what's up, Lucas, by the way? I always got to say hi before I get my point now.
What's up, dog?
Nothing much, man. I want to ask you, I'm looking right now at the 2015 NFL draft, and I'm obviously – Jameis went one, Marcus went two. Looking back – do you wish that the Titans would have grabbed Jameis Winston with his career that's been up and down, or are you still sold on the Titans taking Marcus at two?
Oh, man. Hindsight, I guess, is 2020, but in this case, I don't know that it is, because when you look back, I don't know that you really want either of those two guys as your franchise quarterback. With Jameis Winston, you're either going to get 400 yards and five touchdowns or seven turnovers and 100 yards in a blowout. So I think Mariota was able to string together a little bit more consistency, as weird as that is to say, at least in the early years of his career. I think he definitely showed more promise in the earlier years of his career. But, man, if you got to pick one of those two guys to be your franchise quarterback, when you look at the situation that we have now, I think you'd probably just have to take the top offensive lineman in that draft, whoever that was.
Let's see, that was Brandon Scherff from
Iowa. Brandon
Scherff. Yeah.
Has he had a solid career?
I mean, he got whipped up by Derek Barnett last time I saw him.
Yeah,
he did.
Ugh.
But, yeah, excellent, excellent. I'm right with you. I think that I still would have taken Marcus at that time.
Sticking, Lucas, sticking with talking about the quarterback situation here, I've been asking about Mario. Let's move on to Ryan Tannehill right now, because obviously first year with the Titans, has spent all of his career with the Dolphins up to this point. And you want to talk about having some up and down type of career, that's what Ryan Tannehill's had. A lot of this obviously due to a lot of health-related issues in his time down there in Miami. Now having the chance to take the reins of the Titans here, still in the first half of the season, do you think Ryan Tannehill, and I mean, this could be your opinion, this could be from, you know, what you heard, do you think not only does he have the talent level to try to re-energize the Titans while there's still a lot of time left in this season, not only that, do you think that he would be able to command the locker room as well?
Yeah, okay. Look, here's the thing with the Titans offense for me, that this whole – Mike Vrabel said today at the Titans facility that he's just trying to create a spark on offense. This has not just been a quarterback problem. I mean, this has been, in large part, an offensive line problem. I think the O-line as a unit has played more poorly than Marcus Mariota has this season. I mean, last year, they allowed 45 sacks. We were talking about that as a lot. They're on pace to allow 77 sacks this season, which would shatter the NFL record. So it's been an offensive line problem. It's been a play calling problem ever since week two at home against Indy. And at times it's even been a wide receiver problem. When there's times when quarterbacks had good pockets, whether it was Tannehill or Mariota in Denver, and holding onto it for 5 or 6 seconds before eventually the pressure caves in and the Broncos were able to get a coverage sacks out of them. So really it's on every level of the offense. I cannot see Ryan Tannehill coming in. Yeah, he's going to let it loose a little more. Maybe he'll be a little more accurate on some of these swing passes. Maybe he'll be more decisive. I think he will be. But I still don't think that it's just going to light a fire under this offense and just turn it around, because all the other problems are still going to be there. Until the offensive line starts playing better, these are going to continue. And the Titans are going to struggle just to get to double digits until those problems are fixed. So, yes, I think Tannehill can play better. Yeah, I think he can command the locker room. I think he can be a starting quarterback. He's done it in the league. But, again, he might play better, but I don't think this is going to fix the Titans' offensive problems.
So basically what I can gather from that is there's so many problems that even if Tannehill does come in and you see the quarterback position, the quarterback play, take a big step up from what it's been from Mariota so far this season, even if that's the case, you still don't think that's going to be enough to really change things the way it's going right now.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you saw it in Denver. They threw it around a little more. They were obviously they had to, down 16 to nothing. They were able to move the ball a little bit more. But again, if the offensive line doesn't step up, the Titans' offense isn't going anywhere this season. They've been incredibly predictable on third downs. Arthur Smith, you know, this whole thing about continuity has not really done what Titans fans wanted it to do for this offense. So, yeah, like I said, I think they'll move the ball a little bit more. Maybe he will be better, but something tells me that this isn't just going to be the spark that the Titans' offense needs to start putting up 25 points per game.
Man, well, moving on from on the field to, well, I guess still technically on the field, but over to the sidelines here. Lucas, right now, not even a full year and a half into Mike Vrabel's tenure as the Titans' head coach. How worried are you for him in this whole situation here? Do you think if this just keeps spiraling out of control, that he will even get another season, another crack at it?
And, you know, it's tough to say because if this thing really spirals, you know, I mean really spirals, then, yeah, obviously, you know, if the Titans finish the year at 3-13, 4-12, I mean just true worst-case scenario, then, yeah, you have to have that conversation. But I think Amy Adams, Strunk, the owner, John Robertson, the GM, and Mike Vrabel, the head coach, are all a very tight trio. I think they work well together. So I think 8-8 missing the playoffs, I don't think he's fired, but I do think he's, I guess, on the hot seat going into next year. But I do think it would take a true disaster for Mike Vrabel to be fired after this season, because I do believe that Amy Adams, Strunk, and John Robertson believe in what he's doing, what his staff is doing.
Yeah, so I mean, just following that up with this too here, and I'm really just trying to get more of a Titans fan's pulse on Mike Vrabel in general, because man, it went from him being a generally liked guy from what I could gather from just Titans Twitter and when people talked about him. I mean, obviously, season didn't go completely the way you wanted to, but I mean, you were above 500 in his first season, but I mean, now with just the way the offense has looked this season and everything else that could get a whole lot worse like we just talked about. I'm wondering, Lucas, and what you think, because I heard what John Reed thought earlier, the big Titans fan. He sounds all but completely out on Mike Vrabel. He's basically, I'm just going to say a nicer term, sounds like he pretty much thinks he's an idiot. That's what John thinks about Mike Vrabel. What do you think? Do you think he is a long-term solution in Nashville from what you've seen so far?
I think he can be. I mean, look, it's just so easy to jump to conclusions, man. People with Jeremy Pruitt coming out against Georgia State and the way that they played, I mean, how many people just wanted him fired on the spot? And then you win that game against Mississippi State. There you go. And it changes the narrative. Exactly. I think Mike Vrabel is capable of being a good head coach in the NFL. I've seen him win in some situations where the Titans just had absolutely no business winning. But we've also seen red flags. I was talking today with my buddy Luke Warsham, covers the Titans for A to Z Sports, and he kind of pointed out the tendency that Vrabel has maybe to stick to a player a little bit longer than that player deserves, like Adoree Jackson in the punt return or just now with Marcus Mariota, or when he sent Cairo Santos out to kick a 53-yard field goal and the guy was 0-for-3, you know, maybe believing a little too much in his players, if that makes sense, or believing in the potential of the player in that spot. So we've seen red flags, but I think we've also seen some signs that he can coach in this league. I just think now, with how bad the offense is, it's real easy to say, let's just tank, fire everybody, and just bring in one of these new, bright, young offensive minds. That's going to work for some NFL teams. That's not going to work for others. But no, right now, I think it's kind of like the Vols, man. Talk about firing the whole staff and starting over. Well, that just sets you back a few more years. I think they got to ride this thing out for a little bit more. And like I said, I don't think it's even on the horizon of John Robinson to consider firing Mike Vrabel right now. He'll probably have to think about that maybe 6 weeks down the road. We'll talk again then. But as of right now, no, I don't think that's a conversation anybody's having in the Titans organization.
Lucas, we'll have you leave us with this final question right here, and I got to correct myself. I don't know why I said Monday for some reason. Titans and Chargers is a Sunday game. It is a 4:05 Eastern time kickoff.
Right.
But before we talk to you again next week here, I mean, I want to hear what you think about this Titans-Chargers game on Sunday. Both teams, very weird. Both teams staying at 2-4. Titans a two-point favorite as we speak right now. Do you think the Titans bounce back Sunday?
Man, it is eerie, sort of the line graph of the season for these two teams. It's almost the exact same. Because the Chargers come out with an impressive overtime win against the Colts. The Titans come out firing with a blowout of the Browns. They each lose their next two, and then they get a win against a bad team. The Chargers beat Miami. The Titans do it to the Falcons, who are really struggling right now. Sorry, Malcolm. And then they drop two straight in a row again. So just the trajectory of both teams' seasons is so similar. Offense has struggled to get going. I mean, the Chargers, especially in the first half against the Steelers, they looked incompetent offensively, this past Monday, or no, Sunday. So, oh, by the way, how about the irony of Ken Whisenhunt, the Chargers offensive coordinator, the guy who drafted Marcus Mariota as the head coach in Nashville, coming back to play against the Titans in the first game of Mariota's career when he gets benched.
Back to the old stomping grounds, Ken Whisenhunt. What a disaster that was. Oh, man.
Yeah, complete disaster, but he's been a good play caller. Something about it has worked with Phillip Rivers, with the Chargers, so all the power to him. But I don't think we see a very pretty game this week. I think it's a toss-up on which team wins. They both struggled, both lost two straight games, but I do think that Phillip Rivers gets it done with the Chargers. And like I said, I think we see better movement from the Titans offensively, but no, I don't think that Ryan Tannehill comes in and solves the Titans' problems. But I will say, Jeffrey Simmons, the first overall pick, or the 19th overall pick from Mississippi State, did practice today for the first time since he was drafted much earlier than expected. I don't know if we'll see him against LA, but if we do, it'll probably be very limited, but definitely something to keep an eye on, as we're not even to the midway point of the season, and this is a guy that you didn't think would play until late December, maybe playoffs, if at all.
Yeah, well. Oh. Hey, Lucas, we'll definitely get more updates next time we talk to you next week about the Titans. As always, man, we appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us back here on Overtime.
Thanks, guys. See y'all.
Hey, have a good one, Lucas. He is Lucas Panzeca. You can give him a follow at Lucas Panzeca on Twitter. It's P-A-N-Z-I-C-A. Yes, I do remember how to spell his last name. Almost got carried away.
You're a good one, man.
I try to be here. Hit this break. Wrap up hour one. I want to get to this Butch thing here when it comes to him not taking other jobs yet, still staying in Alabama's second year. This could be a little interesting here, and I want to get into this to wrap up hour one when we come back. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline. We'll close out Overtime hour number one on the other side. End of hour one of Overtime on this Wednesday. I'm going to tell you about Eli Corman and the Nextdoor Home Group with Keller Williams Realty. They sponsor your Nextdoor phone lines here. Just go to nextdoorhomes.com to browse their listings. Eli Corman is a top-notch team. Been rated in the top 5% of realtors in the Knoxville market for the past 4 years. Very straightforward squad. They get the job done with money left in your pocket. They're always going to give you a fun, stress-free buying or selling experience. So just go get a hold of them at 865-233-9461. That is their office number. No gimmicks, just results. And you can call the Nextdoor phone lines at 865-546-8200. Man, so Nick Saban, as part of the SEC teleconference, asked about Butch.
Yeah.
The connection is obvious right there. Butch Jones, still an offensive analyst in his second year at Alabama here. Saban, of course, he's going to be complimentary of his guys. He said things like, he's great, helps break down some film, suggests some new things we can do on offense, all that type of good stuff. Obviously, Saban can't say that. Yeah, he really takes care of my Lexus when it goes to get washed. He makes sure my coffee's, you know, has the right amount of creams and sugars in it, all that type of stuff here. This is interesting, though. Saban also noted that Butch had job opportunities this offseason, And however, he elected to stay at Alabama. That's intriguing because some all Twitter people have dug up this part of, I guess, what is this, a separation agreement?
Yeah.
Something like that. It's negotiation terms of the buyout, basically. I'm about to dive into this. So, Justin, if you will, do we have a conspiracy on our hands? So,
appears we might.
I go to the great G-Man Balls. One of the best fall Twitter accounts.
Veteran, man.
This is where I first saw this. So David Ubbin had the quote, paraphrasing Saban, that Butch had some other job opportunities. Hasn't taken them yet. Gets a little section here. And again, all this stuff is public records. I'm not sure if this is just in the fine print of his original contract, talking about if he did get, you know, fired without cause, or if this is some type of separation thing. I don't know. I'm assuming this is just the contract. These contracts are huge. This is section 3.1.4. It reads, "Coach is required to use his reasonable best efforts to mitigate the university's obligation to pay liquidated damages under this section 3.1 by making reasonable and diligent efforts as soon as practicable following termination to obtain another comparable employment or paid services position. Without limiting the types of positions that are comparable, Coach agrees that the following positions shall be deemed comparable for the purpose of this section 3.1.4. Assistant or head football coach at a college or university, professional football assistant or head coach," and it keeps going. But that's the main part right there. So if he's not actually trying to find employment, he's not fulfilling his end of the bargain.
So he's in breach of terms.
Is what it sounds like.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know how much you can actually prove he wasn't trying.
Yeah.
But you know we're paying him pretty penny every month.
It's like, what, over $100K monthly?
Easily. And his position at Alabama, is it completely unpaid? I think he gets a little bit of a salary, right?
It's 35K?
I think it's 35K. So can they use that and say that, I might have interviewed for a Maryland offensive coordinator or something like that, but they just didn't pick me. I'm sure he can use some type of excuse, but this is Butch we're talking about. A little sleazy, a little snake oil salesman. He's got a few tricks up his sleeve.
It's interesting because this is the kind of thing that would definitely fly under the radar if Saban hadn't said Butch had turned down offers, you know, in the offseason, and he chose to stay at Bama. Because this says, you know, if you're offered a head coaching position or an assistant coaching position at college or professional level, you are supposed to take that in order to get, you know, the university's obligation out of the way to pay Butch's buyout, you know, month over month.
Ooh.
And Saban straight up said he turned offers down.
He did.
So that would suggest that there were offers out there, at the very least at the assistant level, to be a well-paid assistant or head coach. So it looks like, I mean, this is hard. It's going to be hard, you know, to go after him for this sort of thing. I doubt anything will come of it. But it does look like Butch is choosing to stay nice and comfy at Alabama while Tennessee keeps paying him off.
The replies are so funny. Everybody's adding Philip Fulmer, adding NCAA compliance. There's a link to, here's a list of University of Tennessee's in-house lawyers with the respective contact info. Better lawyer up. Better lawyer up, Lyle. Better try to get a job.
Contact the general counsel? Come on, man.
Someone's posting a Better Call Saul gifts. This is great.
Tennessee fans are hilarious.
Only us would have actually said, now, wait a minute. Let's read the terms of this contract.
Now, hold on 1 minute.
Hold on 1 second. Butch trying to get one on us. If I see some picture of him smoking a cigar on Saturday, I might lose all over again. I might get Redneck Angry Malcolm. It might happen. I'll get Rome County Red. I'll get Pal Pissed.
Pal.
You don't want to see me when I'm Pal Pissed.
I don't want to see that, bro.
I tell you what you do want to see. Hour 2 of Overtime.
Let's
it's
do
coming
it.
Up next.